Does that...
Hello.
Hi.
Again.
This is Eric.
This is Justin.
And this is the Nails.
The Nine Inch Nails is... This is our review of the 12th track called Into... Ooh, I just had a good little bit of insight into something, actually. Yeah, this is our second from last one.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wow. All right, so last time, before we talk about the track...
Well, actually, can we talk about the track first, and then I'll answer the question?
Okay.
Because I need to get into this.
Okay. But wait, real quick, just so we can... So people at the beginning know at the end.
Okay. What was the question you asked me?
At the end of last one, I asked Eric what his least favorite Nine Inch Nails album was. So we'll talk about that shortly. Into, go for it.
Into, all I can say about this song is, fuck yes!
It is great.
This is the best song on the album.
It's great.
Hands down.
You know what's really interesting is that it is, I feel like it's a departure from everything else on the album.
Yeah.
It's its own standalone, mm-hmm. completely, you know, there's definitely hints of, like, other things. In fact, when we were just listening to it, like, there's that, like, break at the 3-minute mark where it gets quiet.
And it's totally, I feel so dirty on the inside.
Yeah. You know, there's, like, the break at the 3-minute mark where it gets quiet and then it, like, it's whispery. And then it builds and builds and builds and builds and builds and builds. And it's just, like... I said to Eric at that when it broke and then there was that quiet part, I said that is just like a clip straight off of Downward Spiral. But at the same time, it's also very new sounding, and it sounds like it's evolutionary in its structure, mm-hmm. maybe. You know, the structure of it is very kind of like different for Nails. I mean, there's definitely things that like feel like bits and pieces are reminiscent of something, but like overall I think it's like its own thing. It's great.
Yeah. Well, and I just feel like there's so much that is amazing about this song, and I think that it even, like, resolves some of the issues about some of the things that I had before. Like, you know, a couple tracks ago we were talking about, like, where I felt like some of the electronic things and the beats were almost just, like, disposable.
Right.
Like, they were just sort of like, let's just throw this in here.
Right.
And not only do I not feel like that's the case in this song, like, there, you know, it sort of builds in. And who would have thought that electronic hand claps could be that awesome sounding?
Yeah.
But they do, and then it builds and then it gets dissonant.
Yep.
And then everything else that happens with it. And then it sort of evolves. And if you talk about, you know, the idea of this sort of like picking bits and pieces, the rhythm part of this, and I haven't quite figured out whether it starts out like this or whether it changes, but that electronic sort of loop thing that's happening in there, after we get into like maybe the second verse, it sounds almost exactly to me like a disintegrated version of the Down In It beat.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
There's like this weird like sort of echo back and forth from it, but
right.
Man, this track is amazing because of those things where it's sort of like mentioning these types of things and referencing those types of things, but also like you're talking about, it's going in a whole new level.
Yep.
And I've always been a fan of like all kinds of industrial stuff, and you know, wherever you fall as far as like, is Nine Inch Nails true industrial or is it this or is it pop version of it or whatever, like whatever, who the fuck cares?
Right.
You know, Nails has never really used a whole lot of, like, vocal effects, which is something that's kind of a standard in a lot of other industrial music. And when I heard him use that vocoder kind of voice in here, I was just like, oh, this is the rebirth of industrial.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is the note, and I didn't even realize I had written this because I had missed it, but the note that I had when I first listened to it, or when I was taking these notes, but I was trying to remember what I was thinking when I first heard the song, was this is what I expected Nails to sound like at this stage.
Yeah.
It's like, if the whole album sounded like this, like, with this vibe, it would not have been a surprise to me. It would have been like, oh, yes, this is Nails in 2013.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, and it's not for better or for worse, is that this track stands out because of that, which means that the other stuff sounds different from what I expected Nails to sound like.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that if there was, like, if we could look forward to an entire Nails album that sounds like this,
yeah,
I'm so down. Like, yeah. If it's only available as, like, a $300 8-track.
Don't give them any ideas.
And that's, like, the only format, or, like, wax cylinder, and it's, like, $10,000 plus 3 pints of blood, I'll pay it. I'm down.
You just ruined music for a lot of people. Yeah, all those just... bloodless people.
They're so anemic, they won't mind.
That's right. Yeah, man. I mean, like, I just feel like, you know, and this goes back to what we were saying before, which is, like, dude, like, with running I Would For You and then into, it's just like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, you know.
And it just keeps upping and upping and upping. And I definitely feel like this is the high point of the album for me. It's just...
Yeah.
And the way that it kind of resolves itself with the next two songs, too. Right. Like, it's just like, if you wanted to, like, pick the perfect ending to an album.
Yeah.
I feel like this is it. Like, we are touching greatness here.
I was thinking, the thing that I was like, ooh, I just had a good, like, moment, was that, like, you know, the name of the song is Into, and it feels mm-hmm. like the song is literally two halves, two different halves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the break, and then it kind of yeah. build up kind of a thing. It feels like it's two different, I mean, it feels like it's one song, but it's just two, the two halves are just so different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That's probably looking way too deep into it, but...
But who knows?
But who knows?
You might even look at it, like, if you dissected it and looked at it, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, the two halves are exactly the same length and time or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Problem. No. Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, we're not dealing with, like, Iggy Pop here.
Yeah.
We're dealing with a smart guy who knows music and can manipulate things and do whatever
Aww. He needs to do. Iggy Pop is crying.
I like right Iggy Pop, okay?
What about Anthony Kiedis?
I do not like Anthony Kiedis. In fact, I think, Trent, I think that if you do an entire album of songs that sound like this, the key to admission should be the head of one Red Hot Chili Pepper.
Even Chad Smith?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll get all 7 copies of the album.
Oh, you're like talking like any of them.
Yeah.
Like for Shante, or you're going back.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah, any of them that are still alive and haven't killed themselves with drugs for being in that band.
Oh, man.
Now, I should point out that if you were a member of Jane's Addiction, an original member of Jane's Addiction,
yeah, I was
it doesn't
gonna say.
Count.
Okay. All
right. I kind of like Flea. Flea's all right.
I like Flea. He's in fucking...
Flea, hey, I know you're listening, Flea. Just... Get rid of Anthony Kiedis. Like, I'd buy an instrumental album by you guys. Just, he's horrible.
So, if Chili Peppers got rid of Kiedis,
mm-hmm.
Because I know you think that Kiedis is the problem.
I think that Kiedis is the problem?
Yeah. The main problem.
It's a scientific fact that Kiedis is the problem. That's just pure science.
I mean, we've always said, like, and not we even meaning you and I, but, like, what's funny about the Chili Peppers is that anybody who I know who, even at any point in their career, even if you liked, and I don't have the hatred and vitriol for them that you do, but
I've been alive long enough.
I mean, I will say that they haven't made anything in the last 20 years, probably even more. That's not worth anything.
I'd say the last 70 years they haven't made anything.
But, you know, even at their best, I can say that, and I know a lot of people who will say this, that Kiedis is the weakest link in the entire band.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not for Shante. He's a great, you know, or I'm going back, like, to, you know.
Sure.
Not, like, in the fucking 2000 days, whatever. Post-2000, whatever.
You know who'd make good
well, yeah, so that's what I was going to ask you. Who?
Iggy Pop.
Oh.
Iggy Pop would be amazing.
He should replace... Kiedis?
Yeah.
They both look like fucking corpses.
Yeah.
Wow.
But one of them is a corpse that you would be like, oh, are you all right? And let me help you up, Mr. Pop. And and the other one is like, kick, kick, kick. Gasoline, gasoline, gasoline. What were you talking about?
I don't remember. So,
my least favorite Nine Inch Nails album. Should I answer that question?
Yeah, let me hear.
Well, no, actually, I think that the two Nine Inch Nails albums that I listened to the least.
Can I call it?
Go ahead.
Is With Teeth.
Do we have Show Me With Teeth? Ding, 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 ding. Okay.
And The Slip.
Meh.
No?
No.
Is it Year Zero?
Yeah.
I was going back and forth. But here's the thing about Year Zero. It's definitely one of my... It's not up there. I'll put it that way. But the concept aspect of it. I'm a sucker for that shit.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah.
And the whole marketing thing, the way they, you know, they rolled it out and everything, mm-hmm. I thought was brilliant. And, you know, as a visual artist, you know, as somebody who's a creative and everything, like, I eat that shit up. I eat it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that it is... Like, the concept and that type of stuff is really interesting.
Yeah.
But I feel like we got, like, chapter one of a novel. And I don't feel like we have the whole thing. Because I know that it was always meant to be, like, a TV show.
Yeah, or I was going to say, weren't they developing
it? Or even, like, a comic book, I heard at one point. And maybe that's just it. Maybe I always just kind of felt like I was missing a little bit of something.
You were waiting for the other kind of thing to come finish it.
You don't have to remind me, but is this the time when we saw them in Milwaukee?
For Year Zero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Robin wasn't playing with them and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
There was something about that whole kind of phase where I felt... And this isn't fair because it's like, you know, Trent makes the albums. He records the albums. He writes them. He might bring in some guest people. But it's him and it's whoever's producing him, you know, whether it's Podboy or whether it's Atticus or,
right.
you know, whoever he's working with at the time. But it kind of felt like with that album there was sort of this weird shift where it was almost like he was trying to get younger people to listen to him. And so, like, his band's age went way down. There was, like, the guitar player that, I can't even remember his name, that was just, like, flailing around on stage.
And, yeah, yeah.
And I think that the guy that was playing keys with them was really good, but it was sort of like there was a void there. There was something that was just missing from the mix that I didn't, maybe I didn't connect to it, or maybe it was, like, the wrong period in my life for that particular album. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah. I mean, for me, Year Zero came out, like, at a pretty appropriate time, like, just politically, you know?
Yeah.
I had so much fucking rage and anger over everything that was going on with George W. Bush. I mean, that's, in essence, what it was.
Yeah.
And I think it spoke to me in that way, and I was like, fuck yeah, and fucking, you know, like, I was so down with the cause that maybe I was, like, a little... Admittedly, probably a little biased, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just so fucking happy to get, like, new Nails music. I mean, like, With Teeth was what? When was Year Zero? Wait, no, With Teeth was...
With Teeth was after, right?
Was after, right.
Yeah.
So, Year Zero, the thing that came before Year Zero was what, The Fragile?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I mean, like...
So that, I think, was part of it, too.
Years.
Yeah, it had been years, and then it was sort of like... After you do, like, this big double album...
Yeah.
Then to sort of come back with that. Like, it was an interesting approach, but it just... It didn't really resonate with me. But, you know, again, this could be one of those things where, like, one day my iPod hits on the right song when it's totally in random.
Yeah.
And I rediscover an album. You know, that kind of stuff happens all the time.
Sure.
But...
But still, with that being said, like, those two albums that... You know, mine would probably be... with teeth and the slip, and not the slip because, not because I don't think it's a great album, and not because the music on it I don't think is worthy of like my time or whatever, but he released that album in such a fucking weird way. He's just like, hey, here's this, take it.
So like you didn't have a chance to get excited about
it. Yeah, it was like so anticlimactic, and it was like something that, you know, like it's the whole process, as you know. It's like you know, when this album was coming, when Hesitation Marks was like gearing up, and you and I would be sending stuff back and forth. Yeah. There's a track. There's a this. There's a that. I'm bleeding. How am I bleeding? But anyway, the slip just like kind of happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, wait, what the fuck? And it just seemed like it was an album like thrown out the window, and that I found on the side of the road, as opposed to something that I was like, yes, like I'm so.
Well, it's definitely like the slip for me is definitely it's the most like Trent Reznor's in a band.
True.
Because you know it's much more riffy and it's much more like. It's really kind of straightforward and kind of stripped down. And I think that, you know, in some of the stuff that I heard about this album, like, I feel like the song Everything off Hesitation Marks would sort of be a continuation of that kind of thing. Where it's more of like a band-oriented, almost performance-oriented, like guitar, drums, bass, vocals,
right,
kind of a setup without a lot of extra other stuff.
Sure.
So, for you, I'm glad that Hesitation Marks turned out the way that it did, because otherwise it might have been a sequel to The Slip, which...
Yeah, that's
but
true.
I, you know, I don't... None of the albums are turds.
No.
They're just, you know... But, and it's also hard to... Like, how can a single artist... Is there other albums... compete with something like The Downward Spiral, which I swear didn't leave a tape deck or a CD player for like 2.5 years.
I literally bought The Downward Spiral 4 times on CD.
Yeah.
Because I lost 2 copies, and then I bought, because I probably left them in like a car CD player or something, and I got whatever. Because I took it with me everywhere.
Yeah.
And I listened to it every chance I got. And then, when the remastered Super Duper edition came out, I rebought it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's hard for anybody to fire equally.
Yeah.
And hit you at the exact right moment in your life, with the exact right sentiment and.
Right.
You know, all that kind of stuff.
It's just like these reviews. We did 12 of them, and 2 of them will probably be okay, and the other 10 will just be...
Classics.
Oh.
That people will spin over and over again.
I really believe that, like, 30 years from now, you know, like, you turn the TV on late at night and they have those infomercials for, like, this is the hits, then, volume 12. I think some of our reviews are going to be on some of those CDs.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I do.
This is music now.
Right.
Volume 700 will be on that.
Starring Eric and Justin's review.
Yeah.
That's true. So and they'll just to add insult to injury, they'll put us on there with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They'll mix us in with it. Yeah, I can see that happening. So you asked me a cliffhanger question last time.
Oh man, this one's like 19 minutes already.
Yeah, this is longer than the whole album, I think.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'll give you a cliffhanger that you can answer at the beginning of this next one.
The last one, by the way.
That's right, because we're doing 2-on-1.
Mm-hmm. High five.
If you could only hear one Nine Inch Nails song ever again and the rest of their catalog disappeared, what song would it be? Oh. Find out tomorrow.
See you next time, suckers.